Since this matter of lordship must be definitely settled in your own personal life before you can lead those in your discussion group to a decision of total commitment to Jesus Christ, would you reflect with me as I read seven statements entitled Dying to Self? When you are forgotten or neglected or purposely set at naught, and you don't sting and hurt with the insult or the oversight, but your heart is happy, being counted worthy to suffer for Christ, that is dying to self. When your good is evil spoken of, when your wishes are crossed and your advice disregarded, your opinions ridiculed, and you refuse to let anger rise in your heart or even defend yourself, but take it all in patient, loving silence, that is dying to self. When you lovingly and patiently bear any disorder, any irregularity, any impunctuality, or any annoyance, when you stand face to face with waste, folly, extravagance, spiritual insensibility, and endure it as Jesus endured, that is dying to self. When you are content with any food, any offering, any climate, any society, any solitude, any raiment, any interruption by the will of God, that is dying to self. When you never care to refer to yourself in conversation, or to record your own good works, or itch after commendations, when you can truly love to be unknown, that is dying to self. When you can see your brother prosper and have his needs met, and can honestly rejoice with him in spirit, and feel no envy nor question God, while your own needs are far greater and in desperate circumstances, that is dying to self. When you can receive correction and reproof from one of lesser stature than yourself, and can humbly submit inwardly as well as outwardly, finding no rebellion or resentment rising up within your heart, that is dying to self. Well, teacher, are you dead yet? In these last days, the Spirit would bring us to the cross, that I may know Him, being made conformable unto His death. I pray for you that you are not unerringly loyal to self, but are devoted instead to Christ. If you're not, what is the solution? The solution lies in a four-word statement, the transfer of allegiance. This involves the unconditional, total, and complete surrender of all that we are, all that we hope to become, all of our plans, all of our possessions, everything placed on the altar. An additional idea for an assignment to your group for next week might be to have them list all the verses they can on Christ being Lord of our lives and categorizing them into four categories: self, possessions, other people, occupation. Next, have them write down a principle for each and an application if need be on any one of the four points. Thirdly, ask them to list any specific hindrances or problems that they can think of under any one of the four headings. This may give you some tangible way to serve them by helping them work out or isolate their own problems. Perhaps you could design projects aimed at helping to resolve whatever stands between them and total commitment to the Lord. By all outward appearances, you may feel that your group has made the transfer of allegiance. Let me encourage you to make sure in a prayerful and spirit-led manner. If the outward appearances you read turn out to be incorrect, there could be a vast eternal difference in their lives and yours. I'm sure this was the case with Judas and Peter. The basic difference between these two men finds its root in the fact that Judas failed to make a complete surrender of himself to Christ from the start. He carried over into the new life part of the old life, which right from the start disputed the Master's absolute rule. I envision Judas as a man who secretly reserved the right of veto, and when the tide of popularity swung, he swung with it. Judas had to be on the winning team. He was unwilling to suffer anything that would bring personal loss. Without realizing, he was trying to do what Christ said was impossible, to serve God and mammon. All of this does not suggest that he was a deliberately evil person, only that he was double-minded. James 1, 6 through 8 in J.B. Phillips says, "The man who trusts God, but with inward reservations, is like a wave of the sea. carried forward by the wind one moment and driven back the next. That sort of man cannot hope to receive anything from God, and the life of a man of divided loyalty will reveal instability at every turn. He was overcome by sin because his allegiance, though openly professed, was secretly divided. As the little poem says, "Still as of old, men by themselves are priced. For 30 pieces of silver, Judas sold himself, not Christ." Well, you might ask, why did Jesus choose Judas? Why does he choose you or me? That's one of the questions I want to ask him when I see him. And I suppose the answer in both cases is the same, not for what Judas was nor for what he became, but for what he might have become. Why don't you pray for your group by name that they will harbor no secret allegiance to themselves? Let me provide you with another illustration. Matthew 19:16-22 pictures for us the rich young ruler. Here again, all outward appearance would indicate that he was a completely dedicated man. But Christ knew his heart and put his finger on the one thing that hadn't been surrendered. This is where you may be a catalyst to different members in your group as you get to know them and recognize or have them share with you their point of greatest resistance to unreserved commitment to the Lord. At this point, you as the teacher might ask, must this issue, the Lordship of Christ, be so demanding? And if so, why? The following are lines of free verse that you might want to use if a group member brings that question up, or perhaps it will solidify the answer in your own heart. One by one he took them from me, all the things I valued most, until I was empty-handed, every glittering toy was lost. And I walked earth's highways grieving in my rags and poverty, till I heard a voice inviting, lift those empty hands to me. And I turned my hands toward heaven, and he filled them with a store of his abundant riches till they could contain no more. And at last I contemplated with my stupid mind and soul that God could not pour his riches into hands already full.